Wonderful to see everybody out this evening. Always good to come back together with one another as we begin a new week to come out to study the Word of God as the opportunity has blessed us with the opportunity to do so. It's always a great encouragement to be able to come out and to worship with one another. And we're going to continue on the point that we was on this morning on prophecies about Jesus. Going forth and looking throughout the old law, throughout the Old Testament, to see all the prophecies that were made hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus had come, and to prove that He is the Son of God, to prove that He is our Savior. And it simply goes and adds to the fact that He is indeed God, that He kept His deity, as we talked about last Sunday morning. So we're going to pick up in about the same spot as we did. Alright. It's all good. I'll get through the lesson about it. Anyways, we're going through and looking at the Word of God, looking to see that the Old Testament does show that Jesus is the Son of God. Once again, we're going to pick up with the ministry of Christ once again and looking to see that He is the Christ. And then we're going to look at the events that led up to His death and, of course, His death and His resurrection. So if you will open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you will, open your Bibles there and read with me in verse 50. Deuteronomy 18. And read verse 50. It says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." And it repeats this. If you jump down to verse 18, once again it says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you." So a prophet like Moses. It says here that there will be a prophet like Moses to come up. And if you turn to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, and turn there with me, reading verse 22. Acts 3, and reading verse 22, it says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be what? That every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" So as they're teaching, as the church began here in the book of Acts, and they're going and spread the word, here they say, Jesus is this prophet. Jesus is the prophet that was prophesied to come. He is the one that is like Moses, but greater than Moses. And so it proves, once again, fulfilling this prophecy of the Old Testament, fulfilling what God said would take place. Turn along with me to the 78th Psalm. Psalm 78, if you will. Psalm 78. And read with me there and in verse 2. Psalm 78 and in verse 2. It says, "I will open my mouth and in a parable I will utter dark sayings of the old." And anyone who studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John knows that Jesus told many parables. That He told parables continuously in a way of teaching the disciples and teaching the Jews to bring them to the understanding of what He was trying to get to. He would teach parables. But it proves this, once again, if you will, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Read with me and in verse 35. It says, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.'" So here it brings out, man, we could do a whole series on just the parables of Jesus. Because He spoke quite a few. Jesus fulfills the prophecies made in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 9. Isaiah 53 and in verse 9. Turn along with me there. Isaiah 53, reading verse 9, says, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but with rich at death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." So here it brings out that he was with the wicked. He was with the wicked here. And also to the extent that it says, that next part,
because he had done no violence.
So a few points made in this verse. One, that he did no violence. He committed no sin. He did not revile in return. One, the next point you can make is, it brings out that the rich at his death, the rich man who had bought the land to bury Jesus. And another point, as it brings out, no deceit found in his mouth. And to see the fulfillment in that, 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 22. We had read this morning as it brought out, it said, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So here, once again, fulfilling these prophecies. Fulfilling what was said to come. And that's what makes it a true prophecy. Now today, we have things that we can try to predict, and we might know someone real well, and you can guess what their actions are going to be, but sometimes you're wrong, sometimes and you don't know the exact details that are going to take place. And we have people who have studied a lot about the weather, and they try to predict what's going to happen there too. And once again, we know that they don't always get it right, and it's not 100% accurate. But when a prophecy is taking place that many years in advance, and then it lines up hand in hand together, that's what makes it a true prophecy of God. That's what makes it something special. Isaiah 53 and in verse 1. Isaiah 53 and in verse 1. Here it says, who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So here it brings out that they would not believe our Savior. And we know that many did not believe in what he taught. Many did not follow in what he was doing. In John chapter 12, and reading there in verse 37, John 12 and in verse 37, it says, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. And that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been? Here, once again, it brings out. Though they saw these signs, though they heard what he taught, they did not believe. To fulfill the prophecy. With the points we made this morning, these points here, continuing to the ministry of Christ. And the way he acted, the things that he had taught, and the way people had accepted him or did not accept him. All was prophesied to take place. All was told what would happen did happen. Next one I want to look at this evening is looking at the events that are leading up to his death. In Psalm 69. The 69th Psalm, if you will. 69th Psalm. Psalm 69, and reading there. And in verse 9, it reads here, it says, let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Psalm 69 and verse 9. As it says, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. So we used this verse this morning when we talked about the zeal of Christ and how they recall that his zeal would be there. But also that second part here is made point in the New Testament also that Jesus had. It says, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Romans 15 and verse 3. Romans 15. And you read there in verse 3, it says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Once again, fulfilling the prophecies. You stay there if your fingers are marked back in Psalm 69. Read another verse there. Psalm 69 and verse 4. Psalm 69 and then in verse 4. I did not keep my finger marked there. So Psalm 69 and verse 4 says, those who hate me without a cause. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore. So here he says, those will hate me for no cause. And again, in John 15 and verse 25, fulfilling that prophecy here. It says there, it says, but this happened, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. And as Jesus goes through this, he makes it plain and clear that the world would hate him. And because the world hated him, the world will hate us.
Yes. We have to keep that close to us. That we're no better than our teacher. We're not better than our Savior. He led the perfect life and was blameless.
Yet the world still hated him. And it was prophesied that it would be so. Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and in verse 9. Says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Here prophesying who would betray our Lord and Savior. And we know that through studying and knowing all that had taken place there with our Lord and Savior, that Judas had followed him. Judas had angered him. Judas was considered a friend of Christ, but yet he was once betrayed him. In John chapter 13 and verse 18, here's where Jesus had pointed out, was making clear that someone among them was going to betray him. John 13 verse 18 says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me who sent me. And as he brings out, this takes place, these things take place, so that they can truly see that he is the Christ. Because as they study the old law, they see how long ago it was prophesied, they see which prophet made this prophecy, and they see it fulfilled, proving that he is the one who was told to come. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 12 says, then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out of my wages 30 pieces of silver. There, once again, being specific in what would take place, being specific in the amount that he would be traded for. In Matthew 27 and in verse 9, turn along there, it says, then was fulfilled what spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was prized, whom they of the children of Israel prized, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed. Here, Judas betrayed the 30. I mean, it could have said he betrayed for money, for gold, for silver, and left out the exact amount. But they were exact amount. That's exactly what Jesus was betrayed for, proving once again that he is the Son of God. Psalm 2, if you will. Psalm 2. The second psalm, in verses 1 and 2. Psalm 2 in verse 1 says, why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The king of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed saying. Here bringing out not just the Jews, not just the low people, but the high people, the rulers, the kings. They also would oppose our Lord and Savior. In Acts 4 and in verse 25, and I know that the PowerPoint's not up, so if you desire these scriptures, I can get them to you, send you the PowerPoint, just let me know, and I can email that to you. So, Acts 4 and in verse 25, as it brings out here, it says, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. We are proving, once again, telling that Jesus was not going to be accepted. Jesus was hated without a cause. Jesus was betrayed by his own. Now let's look at a few prophecies that go into detail about when he was betrayed and all that led up, and continually lead up to his death. But He has been betrayed and was in the place during that. In Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, if you will. Psalm 22, and in verse 18, it says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. The dividing of the garments and casting lots. As it brings out in Matthew 27 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 27. And reading there in verse 35, here once again it says, they crucified him, divided his garments, casting lots, that they might fulfill which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now you ought to remember when Matthew was wrote, this all had already taken place. So when they were dividing the Lord's garments and they cast lots to see who got what, they weren't doing it in their mindset, well, this needs to be done to fulfill the prophecy. They were simply doing it. And he says it was done, and this did fulfill the prophecy. They were simply taking it place, but they thought about it. Those who saw it happen, if they were really thinking about the scriptures at that time and moment, they would saw that it fulfilled that prophecy. That it fulfilled these things. Isaiah 53, and in verse 12. Isaiah 53, verse 12 says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. There's a few points to be made, but I want to focus on one point on this verse, is the fact that he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with those who were sinners. You think about who he was with when he was hung on that cross. He was between two thieves. He was by a man who was considered a murderer while he had got caught up in it. He was facing the worst punishment that was there for the worst people there could be. He was numbered with the transgressors. Once again, this was fulfilled, and we see that take place in Mark chapter 15, verse 28, where it makes that point. Mark 15, and in verse 28, as it says there, so the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Going back to Zechariah 12, and in verse 10. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. As it reads there, it says, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for the firstborn. Here it says, whom they have pierced. If you use this and also Psalm 22. Psalm 22. We'll turn there to also another point to bring out that he was pierced, that he was nailed to that cross. Psalm 22 and in verse 16. Verse 16, here it says, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. We turn to John chapter 19, verse 37. John 19 and in verse 37. There it says, and again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Then you can also use the point of doubting Thomas as he would not believe the report brought back to him from the other disciples and apostles saying, I will not believe until I see and I feel for myself my Lord and Savior. When Jesus appeared to him, he said that, feel my hands, feel my skin, you know, feel it, see it, fulfilling this prophecy, showing that he was pierced by the crucifixion that he had faced. And all that he went through, and all that our Lord and Savior went through, being pierced, being scourged, being whipped. Another prophecy proving that this is the Savior. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 20. Psalm 34 and verse 20. Here it says, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. And in John 19, and you read verse 16. John 19 and verse 36. It says, for these were the things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of
He was scourged. He had a crown of thorns beat upon his head. He was mocked. He was beat. He was shut. And all that he had went through that caused his death. Yet not one bone was broken. Not one bone was broken. You think someone might make a mistake and broke a bone? You think and they did. And of course, if you study about the Romans and about their crucifixion, they had it down to a science. They knew what they were doing so that they didn't break bones, so that they didn't how to pierce one's hand without breaking any bones. They knew how to do it. And it fulfilled this prophecy, proving once again that Jesus is our Savior. Isaiah 53 and in verse 5. Isaiah 53 and in verse 5. Here it reads, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Once again, just pointing out the reason he went through all these things. Why our Savior came down and died for us. The reason was for you and I. For our sins. So that we could have the opportunity of heaven. Once again, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, and we read verse 22 earlier. Read, I believe, most of the verses from 21 to 24. But verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live righteousness by whose stripes again fulfilling this prophecy. One last prophecy to look at tonight, Psalm 16 and verse 8. Psalm 16 and verse 8. As we look and see that it was prophesied that he would resurrect, that he would not decay, and that he would not dwell in Hades. Psalm 16 and verse 8. Psalm 16 and verse 8, it brings out, it says, I have set forth the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest hope, for you will not leave my soul in Shiloh, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence and fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Brings out the point that his body wouldn't see corruption, that he wouldn't get left in paradise, he wouldn't be left there in the waiting place, but he would come back, he would not be left there. In Acts chapter 2, as the first sermon is being preached here for the church to begin and everybody to obey the word, to be baptized into Christ. Acts 2 and verse 31 says, for he foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we were all witnesses. From our lesson this morning, from the lesson this evening, we go through and we see that from the prophecies, from him being born of a virgin, from a woman, from his name being Emmanuel, all the way to the predictions of his death, his betrayal, to his resurrection, proves his whole life has been basically prophesied throughout the Old Testament, proving that he is the Son of God, proving that he is our Savior. That's why we do study the Old Testament. That's why it is there for us. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I hope that I have helped understand. As I brought out this morning, there are a lot more prophecies that you could go forth and search through the Old Testament to see be fulfilled in the New Testament. Of course, you know that it has been prophesied that he will continue to reign until all enemies are put under his feet, and that he shall return on the day that his Father has set aside. These things have yet to come. But it could come today. It could come tomorrow. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation to all who desire to obey the gospel, to any who need the prayers of congregation. If there's anything that we can do for you, we let you know. We stand.
Thank you.